Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, coming to you from a bar in Redmond, California, while we wait for drunken Apple employees to come in and leave us goodies. Coming up on this week's show, world's biggest loser, Gray Powell, loses an iPhone 4G. Gizmodo finds it. Is there really anything else to talk about this week? Oh, okay. BlackBerry's been a bit careless too with its next-gen OS. Anything you can do, Apple, eh? And shock horror, brain training doesn't work. What else can we add to that list? Those vibrating exercise machines. On they go. And good news for Android owners who can't afford a sat-nav. Google is giving you one. What joy. So, without further ado, let me introduce my co-host, the man of the moment, Luke Peters, and the one, the only, Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
How are we doing this week then?
Wicked. I've barely been able to move all week.
Yes, you've done your back in.
Did my back in. And then on the day I did my back in, I had to take a photograph of myself to go in shortlist because they wanted somebody to talk knowledgeably about record players. But nobody was available, so they got me to do it. But they needed a headshot, and I haven't got any headshots. So I was having to try and photograph myself in front of a window so it looked like a white background, so it kind of bleaches out. Whilst barely able to move, and I was standing on a bed, which is really wobbly. And did you notice anything about shortlists this week? No, you wouldn't, because I wasn't in it. So it was a complete waste of my time. It was both painful, arduous, and a waste of my time. Though, so thanks a lot, shortlist.
You may want to address that when I put this to you, because it is another week, another furrow added to that furrowy brow of yours. What has been giving you added wrinkles this week?
Furrowy. I'll tell you, funny enough, I went gadget shopping at the weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Just like a normal person.
Surely you just get given them.
I do normally, but I wanted to see how the poor live. So I, like, you know that in The Prince and the Pauper. So I ventured out from my ivory castle onto the streets where normal people have to go and hand over money to buy things. And not an enjoyable experience, weirdly enough. What the hell are you doing with that microphone stand, Dan?
Luke's very far away from his microphone. I'm just bringing him closer to it.
Yeah, but Luke's spine does work. He can move closer to it. It's not, not necessary to physically... He's not a child.
Anyway, carry on.
What was I saying? Yeah, it's not an enjoyable experience. I went to Richer Sounds and had to wait for ages while somebody... Like Richer Sounds, I've always got this problem with because of that time I went and tried to buy a TV and the guy told me that the way to tell if a TV was good was to watch the credits on a film... And if they looked really smooth, to buy that television.
And if they juddered, then don't.
That's not terrible advice.
It's not terrible advice. All you want to do is watch text scrolling up a king TV screen. Anyway, so that was a bit annoying. But then I went to an Apple store, not the Apple store. It was like an Apple reseller. Ooh. I won't reveal its name, but it is the one that's on New Oxford Street. And, oh my God. You go in there and you can see why a lot of people hate Apple and all it stands for. There's like about three arty little tables with the entire Apple range next, the Apple range isn't enormous. I was outnumbered 4-1 by the staff, because there was four of them and one of me. Could I get served by a keyboard? Do you remember my keyboard travails last week?
Yes,
well, I was buying a new keyboard. Mm. It took me about 15 minutes to buy a king keyboard with four members of staff, because they were all sitting around. They were literally like, I said, oh yeah, so I'm not sure whether to get a wireless one or a wired one. And they were like, well, they're both are over there. Why don't you go and look at them on our display?
Well, thank you for that expert advice.
So I went and looked and I was like, oh, no numeric pad on the wireless one. I'll have the wired one. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm a bit busy at the moment.
And he
He was like demonstrating a screensaver to one of his cronies.
Oh, for goodness sake.
But are there any tech shops that you've been to that you actually like shopping? I mean,
that's not what we do in this segment, surely.
Have you ever listened to
Duncan
this podcast
satisfied?
Before? Is there anywhere that I like? No, I think buying technology is across the board a horrible experience. I mean, saying that somewhere like Currys.digital
we've slipped onto this. What about Best Buy are launching, aren't they? They're promising to revolutionise the whole thing.
All they have to do is make it not completely shit, and they will indeed revolutionise it.
It's funny you mention that, because I got telephoned by someone in the States before Best Buy were coming here and basically asked me how they should set it up, and I said they should go with service. That should be their top thing.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that's what they've gone with. So credit me if you get served well in Best Buy, won't you?
I mean, it's not the British way.
Exactly.
But that's why we need to import it. You know? And of course, I did the very English thing, because I should have been like, well, okay, screw you. It's only a keyboard. I'll go buy it somewhere else.
Online.
But instead, I dutifully stood around while they dipped about.
Well, on to our top story. And there can be only one. The, oh crap, where's my top secret next-gen iPhone moment Gray Powell had when he lost the top secret next-gen iPhone he'd been given by Apple months ahead of its launch. He found it as did the rest of the world, when it popped up in all its glory on Gizmodo. Now, for those...
We've all been there, haven't we?
We have.
A few drinks.
Yeah, you know.
Good japes.
But for those who haven't been following this, let me just recap, because it all started off as an ordinary 27th birthday for Apple software engineer Gray Powell. On 18th of March, he went out to celebrate his birthday with friends. If it had ended there, everybody would have been happy. Instead, Gray went to the Gourmet House Stout in Redwood, California, a German specialty shop and beer garden with 10 different German beers and one guest tap. If it had ended there, Gray would not be crying into his hoe garden to this day.
That's Dutch.
Because, shut up, before leaving, Gray left his next-gen iPhone prototype on a bar stool. What happened next would change his life forever. Instead of remembering and rushing back to get the phone, someone else found the device. Finders keepers, losers weepers, you might say. And our loser certainly was. But according to Gizmodo, our finder passed it to another group he thought it belonged to. If it had ended there, Gray wouldn't now be hiding from the Apple police. But rather than making a few calls to Nigeria and dumping the phone in a bush, our new finder, realizing what he had, sold it to Gizmodo's Jason Chen for $5,000. Apparently, after trying to call Apple customer services to return it. Was the phone stolen? Could Gizmodo be handling stolen goods? Well, we'll glide over that, because Chen then spent the next week tearing it apart and ascertaining that this was the next iPhone before posting it for all to see on the Gizmodo website. Several billion hits later, and the rest, they say, is history. Apple wrote a letter asking for their phone back. Gizmodo have said they can have it. Attached to their note, a little PS from Mr. Chen. I hope you take it easy on the kid who lost it. I don't think he loves anyone more than Apple.
Ugh.
Well, Gray, if you're listening to this, we'd like you to know that Apple loves you too. It's just a little disappointed in you right now.
I felt so sorry for that guy, not so much because he lost it, but because now, because of Facebook, you can get pictures of people. Every media outlet in the world has basically got a picture posted of him looking pissed. Basically, as if to say, look at this guy, he's always drunk. He probably loses stuff every time he goes out. It's no wonder. It is pretty amazing, isn't it? I didn't know it was his birthday, to be fair. Mm. But if you've been... I mean, Apple, their reputation, you know, they play their cards close to their chest. They're very protective of their, you know, their new devices. If you've been given one, and I assume he was given a talk along the lines of, we're going to give you this iPhone, you must under no circumstances lose it. To immediately go out and lose it.
But he was told to, I mean, his job was to go and use it.
Yeah, I was going to say, testing it in the wild. Okay. But it's
so it was legitimate that he was in a bar with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know? But I think then remember to take it home with you, I think, is the lesson to learn here.
Whoops. Let's just deal with the obvious question first. Is it real?
Yes.
Well, it certainly looks like it, doesn't it? I mean, the only thing that was slightly odd about it is it doesn't look very nice.
It looks a little bit like an old Sony Walkman.
It looks like one of the phones that people who have been trying to copy the iPhone over the last 2 or 3 years have released, and you look at it and you're like, yeah, it's kind of like an iPhone.
Is it because what they do with cars, you know, you see in an auto car the next BMW 3 Series, and it's kind of clad in sort of all sorts of things just to disguise what it is, and you can't
it was wrapped up in a case to disguise it.
You think there was a bit of that going on, and maybe it's not the case we're actually going to see.
Maybe it's like they weren't sure about it at Apple. So, you know, it's like when the government announces an initiative
leaks
and everybody goes, oh my God, that's the crappiest idea I've ever heard of. And you never hear about it again.
They go, oh, well, that would...
Maybe this is a kind of very convoluted example of that. But it does seem that it is real. And it's certainly... What's the funny thing about it is that to people outside of the tech world, it's an absolutely meaningless non-story that has no... It's just like, oh, okay, you found this thing in the bar... You've taken it apart and ascertained it's made by Apple. Have you used it? No, we couldn't use it because we couldn't turn it on. Okay, then what is the point of your life? But in the tech world, it's like the biggest story in, you know.
It's the
biggest thing that could possibly happen.
It's the first time in however many 30 years that Apple's legendary sort of thing has been compromised. You know, it's their secret's out before they've They're controlling how the news comes out of it, which is what's, you know, they control what happens with their products and how the news is told. And this time they haven't been able to do it.
What do you make of the way this happened? I mean, there's some legal niceties over whether this is classed as a stolen phone, whether Gizmodo was handling stolen goods, all sorts of things. They deal with it on their website. You either, you know, think that stands up in Californian law or you don't. So we'll put,
put that to one side. Who cares? Because they're not going to, like, nothing legal is going to come of this. Yeah. But it's so disingenuous of Gizmodo to say, oh, no, well, it's not like stolen because the guy totally tried to return it. Can you imagine that phone call? Oh, hi, I found one of your top secret iPhones in a bar and I'd really like to return it. And the guy on the other end went,
What Gizmodo said?
Got some right joker here.
Well, that's what they're saying, because the guys on customer service had no idea about this phone, didn't know it was lost. And when someone did call up, they just thought, oh, it's probably some Chinese knockoff or something.
Correct me
like
if I'm wrong, phoning up customer services is not attempting to return the phone.
I would concur.
But anyone who knows anything about technology, clearly this guy did, because he took it to Gizmodo and sold it to them.
Yeah. So
that's assuming also that it, you know, anyway.
Yeah, so there are sort of blurry grey lines in all of this, but the essence of paying someone $5,000 for this and going about it in the way they did, what do you make of that? Because apparently Engadget offered this phone and turned it down.
That's called journalism where I come from. No, what does that tell you? It's the biggest scoop you can have in that world. Yeah. Engadget turned it down. The thing is, what a kind of... no, actually, it doesn't depress me, actually, because it means the kind of... I feel like I've got more of a life. But if somebody had approached T3 with that phone, I think we'd either have turned it down or we'd have returned it to Apple, basically, because we're pussies in that respect. But also, because we're like a proper magazine, you have to have certain channels open with certain people and you don't want to piss people off.
It's such a dilemma because...
A blog?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. If somebody came to me as a blogger and said, I've got the new iPhone, and I'd go, here's as much money as you want. Mm. Thanks very much.
Because Gizmodo have already burnt their bridges with Apple.
In the past.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, they've got form on this. So
that was the only thing.
They weren't ruining any special relationship, really.
No, because I thought they were quite up Apple's arse, to be honest. But apparently they weren't, so...
But that's the thing with Apple. No one really is up their arse at all because, you know...
They're difficult people to get up the arses of. Lord knows we've tried.
They don't give anyone really any special privileges, anything. They're very... They're quite a close company to work with, saying it politely. Yeah. But, you know, they make great products, but they're a very close company to work for. I don't think they were losing anything. They weren't losing a relationship they had in before, I don't think.
They didn't have a relationship to lose.
Maybe that was my slight misreading of the situation, because I thought they did have relationships with this, but apparently there was some sort of incident.
They basically talked about Steve Jobs when he was ill.
His health,
and that was a no-no as far as Apple were concerned. Putting all this to one side then, if this is the next iPhone, what do you actually make of it? I mean, you've already said you don't really like
nothing,
the look of it.
Because you can't, because they can't tell you anything about how it actually works. If it just runs iPhone 4, we know what that does.
They ascertained that it had probably an HD screen. They had to guess on the resolution, but it looks HD.
Do you know how they got to that point?
Wasn't it the...
you know that little icon that comes up when it says connect to iTunes?
Yeah, I know it because our iPad was constantly saying for yonks.
That's how they ascertained what the screen resolution was, which to me is not really a good test.
Yeah, they just said it looked very high resolution.
You couldn't spot the pixels.
Whatever that means.
Okay, so
and also the screen supposedly
HD.
Slightly smaller. That seems weird.
Front-facing camera.
Big deal.
There were some people talking about this will revolutionize the phone. I'm like,
some people don't know their asses from their elbows, do they? Because I mean, crappy phones have had front-facing cameras for as long as there's been 3G. Yeah.
And who actually stands there in the street doing a 3G voice
Although,
call?
I mean, the point was made, if you combine that with Skype, then it's a bit more interesting because people video call with Skype, that's quite a standard thing. It's never quite caught on with phones, but if you combine Skype with a front-facing camera, maybe...
Possibly.
Skype works because it's a mounted camera that you don't have to hold in your hand.
Yeah, maybe.
Therefore, it's good for having
on the back
sex.
A higher res camera.
Let's be honest.
With flash, it's got to be an improvement. But again, it's not going to blow the world away.
I know this.
Alight,
no, this is what I was saying earlier about. To most people, they would read this story and be like,
It's got a bigger battery as well. You know, so that's
what I love. The fact they ripped the thing apart. And this is the other thing about all legalities of it. I mean, like if it's stolen goods, they've not only handled stolen goods, but also it could constitute criminal damage, presumably, the fact they've literally ripped the thing to pieces. But What was I talking about? The battery. The fact that they actually will take this thing apart and be like, oh, the battery is slightly bigger. That's good. I mean, more battery life. Yeah, great.
Yeah, and if they can kind of like match what they were doing with the iPad, then that's a big step forward.
But I've gleaned absolutely nothing from this story apart from the fact that the politics of it is fascinating and it's like great. It's almost like proper old school journalism, and I love that. But as to what the next iPhone is going to be like, it appears to me to be basically the same, slightly uglier, I would say.
A bit more rounded at the edges.
Yeah, if they've been able to play with it properly for a week and could say the battery life has doubled, then to me that's like, okay, that's killer app. That means the next iPhone is
going to
like... The 3GS
battery life is shocking.
But the battery life on everything is shocking these days. Well, if they had an iPhone that lasted for a long time on a battery, that would be like big news. But they don't know that, and they can't know that, so I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, let me tell you what Shane Richmond from The Telegraph has written. It reminds me of when I was a child and I found my Christmas presents unwrapped, hidden in my parents' room. The initial thrill was soon replaced by the realisation that I'd spoiled the surprise for myself. This has not only ruined the unveiling moment, you know, with Steve Jobs and his polar neck, but also all that speculation that we have for months beforehand.
But has it? Because, I mean, if you look at what Gizmodo have uncovered, if you said, right, what's the next iPhone going to have? You'd probably say that.
And also, I say, grow up. Christ's sake. I used to go every year. I mean, maybe this is like a different personality thing. I used to go every year and find out what my parents had bought me, and I thought that was great. I didn't think, oh, I've really spoiled the surprise for me now. I was like, oh, great, now I know I don't have to wait till Christmas Day. How old's Shane Richmond? Grow up, Christ's sake.
Fine. Has Apple actually got any time to add anything or take anything away from this?
Well, that'd be hilarious.
You know, no, start again.
Or maybe they test lots of prototypes at once. But it does seem, because if they're launching in June, it seems like...
Yeah, it's not long enough, is it?
But that would be a fascinating insight into how Apple works if...
It was completely different.
When the iPhone eventually came out, it was totally different.
To counter Shane Richmond's point, it's still going to be interesting to see, okay, have they changed anything? What have they been able to do in those short months?
What realistically could they do? The only things they can do is stuff in the OS.
I saw one analyst, those great tech analysts, suggesting, they could add a sliding keyboard, thereby just showing this complete lack of knowledge about anything about what Apple's about.
Like these people who are like analysts, who they quote,
honestly.
Why don't they just ring us up? It's because we don't work for a company that's called something like Gromit and Fudge.
Exactly.
And we aren't paid £1 billion an hour. But at least we know our asses from our elbows.
Anyway, we will see. But for now, it's time to say, here is the news. Well, from one leak to another, details and screenshots of BlackBerry OS 6.0 have been unearthed ahead of its planned summer launch.
Yep, Boy Genius Report has been having a play. It's found tabbed browsing, a Coverflow-style front end to the music player, and HTC-style home screen customization. Expect it in a BlackBerry near you from June or July.
Now, Gray Powell may not have been able to find his lost iPhone, but people with Android phones need never be lost again. Google's launched its Google Maps navigation software for everyone.
Yep, after its launch in the States last year, navigation can now be downloaded to any handset running Android OS 1.6 and up. It adds 3D sat-nav to Google Maps for free.
Hurrah! And could this be the downfall of the Hitler downfall parodies? YouTube has gone and pulled all the iPad, Windows Vista, Michael Jackson, and countless other send-ups for fear of copyright breach.
All the clips run subtitles over the German scene of Hitler in his bunker taken from the 2004 Der Untergang film. The makers seen the funny side of them, but YouTube hasn't. Not to worry though, they're all still online at other sites. Go find them.
Hurrah! Yes, Google.
All equally hilarious.
Just find them. They're all. They never fail to amuse me.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're great.
I think the idea is really funny, and the first one that I saw was very funny.
You'd think it should then, the second time, when it's about Windows Vista or whatever, you'd think, oh, well.
That's the nature of memes, I suppose.
But actually, I just found it equally hilarious.
It's a great film, though. My only worry with it is that it might make people think that the film it's from is meant to be a comedy. And it's actually one of the most harrowing and powerful films I've ever seen.
And great performance.
But I suppose that's why it's funny.
Well, there we are. Tweet time. Duncan, what have you got?
Well, let me tell you what I've got, Dan. Aaron Kane says, Aaron Kane at allo this.
I think she's talking to someone called Allo This.
Do you tweet, Bill?
Mr. Technical. So this gentleman has sent what I believe is called a tweet. And it's to a Mr. at Allo This. And he's saying to the Mr. at Allo This, looking at the pics on t3.com, on at t3.com, don't you think the iPhone 4G has a sort of PSP-style design? So I don't know why I started doing it in that accent. The whole silver sandwiched in.
Ah, it is a little PSP-ish.
I guess he ran out of characters there, did he? Or have you mistyped it?
The side of it looks a little bit Sony. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Something Walkman-y, something PSP.
Something slightly ugly. I think it looks kind of ungainly. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it is disguised a bit, so it's hard to know exactly.
Maybe.
It's going to be completely
the
different.
Polished product. Luke, anyway.
Well, we asked on t3.com, is the iPhone real?
And you've got one. Oh, the 4G one. Oh,
the 4G one, Duncan. Emma Machiello, or Mary Jo, says Apple would never be that careless.
Yeah, right. Apple wouldn't, but Gray Powell.
Gray Powell absolutely shonkered in a bar.
I think people genuinely do think Apple is like some sort of... They're like the Illuminati
humans. And they cock up every now and then.
Yeah, due to employment law, they're forced to employ humans.
Mm. Anyway, finally, Likhan Ghosh from Brighton tweets to say, love the witty banter on the podcast. I don't know which podcast he's listening to. We're just serious.
I don't know. Maybe we should listen to it and then we could pick up some tips.
We're just serious tech talk here.
Did you notice that somebody actually tweeted in and said, can I have Duncan's exploded keyboard as well? Because I said as a joke, sign the keyboard. And I think I mentioned something about selling it, actually. And the chap didn't say, I'll pay you 10 quid for it. But
$5,000.
So if whoever that was
Make
wants
us an
to
offer.
Email t3.com. Mm. Well, lovely. What's our email address?
t3@futurenet.co.uk.
Send us your address and you can have it.
There we are. Excellent.
I'd suggest you try and find a girlfriend or something personally, but that's...
Anyway, Dunk, it's up to you now. What have you got for our gadget of the week?
Well, very briefly, I've got two things.
Looks like some sort of love pump.
It is some sort of love pump, but I've also got this.
Oh, not that we've seen those.
No, this is a different one.
Oh, no.
Somebody on iTunes said, I listened to the T3 podcast and it gives you a headache. And I presume they were listening to this one because, look, it's the return of the noisemaking machine. They do a range.
Oh, no.
This one's a comedy sound effect. Listen, what's funnier than this? Come on.
I can't believe I laughed. That's terrible.
This one's good. Listen, this one's just disturbing.
In what way is that amusing?
That's just unpleasant.
When the magazine goes to bed, that noise happens.
This one just goes on much too long.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So anyway.
Good.
That's just for that one listener.
So that's a different one.
But moving on to the...
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, the one we had before was the cartoon one, and that is the comedy one.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Right.
Yes, this
is a
rather steampunk-looking thing is a mobile espresso machine called the Handspresso.
Handspresso? Espresso.
Right. Don't know how you pronounce that. But it's got a little pod with a kind of counterclockwise ceiling cover to it. And you put your coffee and your water in there. And as you see, there's a little gauge here. Yeah. And what you do is you get a firm grasp of it, pump it like that. It's like a bit like a bicycle pump. Yeah.
It's exactly like a bicycle pump.
Can you see what I'm doing?
I think I've seen this in a Swedish video.
See the pumping motion there? And as the pressure builds, eventually you end up with something very frothy.
Let me take a look
and
at this.
Rather tasty.
Let me have a look at this.
That you can sup.
Right, okay. It's fairly well made. Okay, yeah, I can see. Yes, coffee goes in there. Pressure builds up. So what, you put boiling water in here?
Yes.
Yeah, and a bit of a cafetiere style.
No, it takes pods, actually. It's special pods.
Just whack in your own coffee? It has to
apparently
be.
Not. Apparently not, sadly. Look, my favourite thing in the instructions was there's a bit that says, this is a portable espresso machine.
Yeah.
Do not attempt to use it for any other purpose. And I was just thinking...
The mind boggles.
Maybe if you had an ant that had gone down to a very deep depth and had the bends, it could work hyperbaric chamber for an ant.
So...
But that was
probably the most bourgeois gadget.
It's quite
I think
an attractive thing, and I kind of understand that, yes, it would work, but why would you prefer this to just an espresso machine?
Well, it's
for taking it on a picnic, you fool. It's not for your house. Look.
So you're going to have to boil up some water.
No.
So what, does it come with a little stove?
It comes with a thermos. Because, of course, you don't really, you're not supposed to use boiling water for espresso. You're supposed to use hot water.
Oh, right. So you get a little...
It comes with a beautiful...
All right, it's making more sense now.
Imagine if you're stuck in an airport while there's a volcano going on. Yeah, lots of ash,
say for instance.
I've had enough of your ridiculous scenarios, Luke. Honestly.
That could never happen. As if a little bit of ash could bring down an aeroplane.
Good God.
Yeah, and I'll just a shout out to actually our features editor, Rob Temple, who's finally coming home today.
Oh, right. And are we repatriating Chris yet?
Yeah, Chris... Yeah, this is the Globetrotting magazine T3 is. Chris was stuck in America and Rob was stuck in Japan as a result of this farrago.
Well, there we are. Yeah.
But they're both on the way.
Oh, good. Hurrah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. That lovely espresso pump. What was it actually called?
Hand Presso.
Lovely.
I think the name needs some work, to be honest.
Yes, possibly. Now, a nation was aghast this week when it found out brain training is... basically bollocks. were you shocked?
Who knew? Not really, because I got a brain training game when I got my DSI, and I certainly didn't become noticeably cleverer.
They're good fun, aren't
more cleverer.
I mean, you know, it's like, as a game, it works. You know, yeah, no?
I don't believe that for 1 minute that it's not activating some part of the grey matter to get it stimulated a bit. But
the point is that it is at the time... But it doesn't have any long-lasting effects on your ability, your cognitive...
Basically, what they showed was you got better at the tasks that you did repetitively, but you didn't get any better at anything else.
Yeah.
So it's like Sudoku. You can be crap at football, but don't play Sudoku and you're going to be good at it.
No, because there is... I think the basis that brain training was sold as being perhaps good for people who were aging...
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever... I think you'd be a bit stupid if you thought as a 25-year-old it was going to literally make you
they
cleverer.
They never made the claim that it would make you more intelligent or whatever.
So the doctor behind this, is he a made-up fictional character?
He's a real doctor. The game is based on some, I don't know, sort of scientific stuff he came up with.
No, what it's based on is apparently crosswords. Right. Apparently there's quite a large body of evidence that says that doing crosswords regularly and Scrabble, which is basically like a big crossword, isn't it?
That
help keep your mind...
Did you watch the show? Because it was all over the news, and then it was on the BBC. Is it Brainiacs or
no? Unfortunately, I can't work out to turn on my television because of the failure of brain training to make me clever. No, I didn't see it. No.
But
it doesn't come as any surprise.
The findings were rather they built it up for ages on the show about will it make you more intelligent? But it had been on the news all day, so it was.
I love it when they do that.
It was like
they scoop themselves.
I know
at the
exactly
BBC.
What's about to happen.
So it's just basically another brilliant marketing campaign by Nintendo.
Well, possibly. But what they did say on the show is that listening to music shortly before you do a task. So if you're about to do something that will challenge, you know, brain challenge, if you listen to music before, then do the task, then you're generally better at it.
Well, we have music on all day in the office, so we should be...
It doesn't work. It doesn't work to have the music on while you're doing the task. It's got to be beforehand.
Okay.
There you go. Gives you a short,
I think
boost.
If anyone seriously thought that they were going to become more learned or intelligent by basically guiding... a cartoon dog through a lot of little maze or whatever. I think that's like the kind of people who think they're going to get really slim by eating
ekai. The people who took part in the program were genuinely hopeful that this. They really all. The majority of them thought that this had, you know, somehow improved their intelligence.
Yeah, of course, that's because they're people on a BBC daytime TV program. They're morons. Have you ever watched daytime television on the BBC?
It was on in the evening.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
show is on in the evening.
While we're on this, any other? Do you want to declare any other tech that just doesn't actually work? It doesn't do the job it's meant to.
Lots of claims by manufacturers about things being indestructible, which we put to the test a good few times.
Never turn out to be indestructible.
Never turn out to be indestructible at all.
I don't know about the...
I think Chris destroyed a phone that someone handed to him saying that he would never be able to break it. And he smashed it against the corner of
the
table.
With the first thing that he tried, he managed to break it. Yeah.
But
that was immediately after having been challenged to break it.
Yeah.
So that was
gone down in tech journalism lore. He broke a very expensive phone on the side of a corner of a table.
I brought up those vibrating exercise machines. You stand in them and they just sort of vibrate. And
that's not an exercise machine, no.
Yeah, well,
and you're not meant to stand on it.
Very good. We were trying to get out of these makers of this because when we were doing the fitness gadgets at the gadget show, we were sort of saying, do you actually get any fitter doing this? Or, you know, does this build muscle?
Oh,
or anything
the vibro
like that? And
platform,
all we could get out of them was that it toned. It would tone things. But that's bollocks in my book. Tone.
I can see how it would be if you did like some kind of yoga type thing, right?
Whilst being wobbled.
Presumably, yoga is good for toning, is it? Is that what people do?
And flexibility.
There we are.
Yeah, presumably if you did it on a vibrating platform...
That's what you need for your back.
It's more difficult, and therefore a little bit better for you. So I can just about see how it could have some benefit.
I see.
Okay.
But other than that.
Patrick's instigating a new page in the mag.
Yeah.
A bolloxometer page.
I've always wanted to have a
This week,
feature
the bolloxometer is at 6.
Just called That's Bullshit.
I call BS on this.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that is about it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then, I've been Dan Maudsley and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.